Evening, ladies, welcome. We are studying Parashat Vayitzei Yaakov. Ladies, our Parashah is the Parashah where Yaakov Avinu leaves his father's house and eventually makes his way to the house of Laban, where he gets married. The marriage of Yaakov Avinu was very controversial.
Marriages.
I was away for a few days, I forgot how to talk. Thank you. Not that he was involved in any controversy, but his father-in-law, Laban, made a ruse. You see, Yaakov intended to marry Rachel. But we all know that under the chuppah, Laban pulled a switch. And instead of putting Rachel under the chuppah, Leah was there. And he ends up marrying Leah. Now, I want to tell you about a pasuk in Tehillim that says that God sits in heaven and laughs. Yoshev b'shamayim yizhak. You have to know that. That anytime you see somebody trying to trick the tzaddik, the last laugh is on the trickster, not on the tzaddik. See, Laban thinks he's going to get the best of Yaakov by tricking him. But actually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in heaven is laughing and saying, look what he ended up doing. Look who came from Ne'ah. From Ne'ah came the child called Nevi. From Nevi is Moshe Rabbeinu and all the Kohanim. From Ne'ah comes Yisachar. Yisachar is the tribe that studies Torah. From Ne'ah comes Zivulun. Zivulun is the tribe that supports all the Talmid Chachamim to study Torah. From Ne'ah comes Yehuda. From Yehuda comes Mashiach. So who has the last laugh? If Laban would have known who's going to come from Ne'ah, he never would have let Yaakov marry Ne'ah forever. So Hashem said, you think you're tricking Yaakov? You think you're tricking him by giving him Ne'ah? Look at the jewels, look at the treasures that are going to come out of this lady. So if you ask me, I would say that the last laugh was not on Yaakov Avinu. The last laugh is on Laban. That's always a lesson. You can never really trick the tzaddik. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what he's doing. My question was, why did it have to happen this way? Obviously, God orchestrates the zivug of a person. All the marriages are made in heaven. Why did Yaakov's marriage have to be in such a controversial way, where his first wife was Leah given to him in such a way, and then Rachel the second? Why did it happen this way? Maybe in the course of what we're going to say today, we'll answer it. I'm not sure. We begin today's derash with a pasuk. The pasuk says, in Perech Chavtet, in chapter 29, Vayisa Yaakov Raglav, Vayelech Adza Benekeden. I'm reading it now literally. Vayisa Yaakov Raglav, he lifted his feet. Vayelech, and he walked Adza Benekeden, to the land in the east. Now this land, I guess, is Haram. So that's where he went. That's where Laban lives. The Zohar Kadosh is saying, what is this language, Vayelech Adza Benekedem? Just say, Vayetzei Yaakov Be'esheva, Vayelech Harana. Why all of a sudden you're changing it and you're calling the place that he went to Benekedem? And I had a question, what does it mean he lifted his legs? You teach me how to walk? I know how to walk. You have to lift one leg, and then you lift the other leg, and you move forward. The pasuk over here is not teaching me walking skills. It should say Vayelech. What does it mean by Yisal Yaakov Raglav? He lifted his feet. So Rashi says something over here. B'shenitbaser b'sorah Torah, after God gave him the blessings in the beginning of the parasha, nasa libo et raglav v'na'asa kal lalechet. His legs carried him. V'yisa Yaakov raglav. In America, they say when you see somebody walking quickly, when you see somebody walking gingerly, they say he has a spring in his step. The Gemara says that when a person is in a good mood and a person is happy, so his feet are light. You see, he walks very, very, very quickly. So the pasuk is saying that God just blessed Yaakov Avinu with the blessings of protection and with the great children, and he's going to have success and wealth. So when Yaakov got the blessings, since when he said Yaakov Avinu, it's almost as if his feet carried him. They carried him by himself. He was light on his feet. That's what we would say, light on his feet. That's the simple interpretation by Yisa Yaakov Raglav. That's what Rashi means when he says, "V'na'asa kala lechet, kala lechet." It was light on his feet because he just heard good news. That means, God forbid, if you see somebody walking very slowly, and you see them, the Gemara tells a story of there was one rabbi, he was walking very quickly, and the goy, the non-Jewish guy, wanted to catch up to him. But he couldn't catch up. The rabbi's walking very fast. So the goy screams to the rabbi, "Don't forget the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Don't forget the destruction of the temple." He figured that when he hears bad news, he'll get slower. He didn't slow down. He kept on walking quickly. Finally, the goy had to run up and he said, "I don't understand. Didn't you teach that when a person has bad news in his head, he walks slowly?" He says, "Yes, but that's current bad news. You told me bad news from 1,000 years ago, the Beit HaMikdash. That doesn't bother us so much. Although it bothers us, but it doesn't affect our pace." That's a simple interpretation. There was a great rabbi that was called Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, the Ramak. The Ramak lived in Sfat about 500 years ago, and he wrote a commentary on the Zohar HaKadosh. We have the commentary, it's called Ori Akar. In his commentary, he says that Yaakov Avinu, when he was now on his way to Haran, he had a mission. He knew that it is from him the tribes are going to come, the 12 tribes. He knew that already because if you remember when he had the dream, it says he put rocks around his head. And he put 12 rocks around his head. And the rabbis hint to us that already he was aware that he's going to have 12 Shevatim. And then the rocks became one, which indicates to us that there's going to be unity amongst the family of Yaakov, which means eventually they're going to reunite. So Yaakov knew that now he was about to go start a family. So the Ramak writes that God is called many names. Yudkevavke, we call God Elohim. But there's another terminology that we call God, Kadmuno Shel Olam. You know what the word Kodem means? Kodem means before. Nobody ever preceded God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always tells us in the Shiur, God says, Ani Rishon V'Ani Aharon. God says, I'm the first and I'm the last. So God in the Kabbalah is called Kadmuno Shel Olam. He's the one that preceded everything in the world. He is always the one that comes Kodem. And therefore we, the Jewish people, we would be called the children of Kadmuno Shel Olam. The Jewish people are the chosen people. We're the children of God. Sometimes they call us B'nei El Hai. We're the children of the living God. But Ramak says that there's another way you could call the Jewish people. You could call them B'nei Kedem. We are the children of Kedem, of Kadmuno Shel Olam. So the Pasuk is saying, well, yes, he went to Haran. That's the name of the place. But the second pasuk is telling us what he was doing. First, it's telling us he went to Haran, that's the location. But what was his kavana? What was he doing in Haran? So the next pasuk says, "Vayisa Yaakov ragnav." He lifted his legs. "Vayelech arza." He went to the land to do what? Benekedet, in order to establish the children of Kadmono Shel Olam, the children of the one that preceded the world, to create Bnei El Hai. He knew that he was about to create Klal Yisrael. That's the second interpretation. So now we have two interpretations. First interpretation, the Pasuk is just telling us, he traveled quickly. His legs carried him because he was happy that he knew the blessing was with him. And he traveled towards the east, Bnei Kedem. The second interpretation, he was traveling to Haran to do what? To establish Bnei Kedem, to establish the children of Kedem Rosh HaOlam. However, I came today to explain it in a much deeper way. I don't know why I chose to speak in this deep level today. Maybe I should have waited a couple of weeks till we get past the jet lag. But nonetheless, I saw the great rabbi in Israel, Rabbi Friedman, and living me well, sent me a text or an email this week informing me if I'm aware of the Ben Ish Hai. I was not aware of the Ben Ish Hai that he quoted me. Imagine that, you have to have an Ashkenaz rabbi telling us what the Ben Ish Hai says. That's shameful on my part. But nonetheless, when I became aware of this Ben Ish Hai, it was very, very eye-opening to me, and therefore I have to reveal it to you here today. So in order to understand it, first we must go to a book that's called Megale Amukot. I have a copy of it here. How am I going to explain this to you? I myself don't understand it 100%. Let's try to say it simple. There's certain negative energies in the world. These negative energies are in certain locations in the world. They're in certain places. I'm talking about spiritual energies over here, and they're the negative spiritual energies. They're called kelipot. They're the husks. Now, anybody that's able to plug into these negative energies, they bring a lot of shmua upon themselves, and they can cause damage to other people. There is a certain kelipa, a certain negative energy that the Megale Amukot tells us. Its position on the map is in the southeast corner. On our map, southeast is Florida. I'm aware of that. And there's Kiddipot over there also. We're not talking about the Kiddipot in Disney World and all those other places. We're talking about that in the spiritual world. They talk about the southeast corner. And they say that over there there's a lot of Tum'ah. And they talk about how Lavan, the father of Yaakov, as well as Esav, as well as Bil'am, all these Nesha'im, they were connected and plugged into this energy. And that's where they got all their, their evil spirits from. Ladies, don't ask me questions. Don't ask me where is it. It's not in the physical place. It's in the spiritual map. But if you have a spiritual map in front of you, and you go to the southeast corner of that map, and you plug into it, you'll see a lot of Nesha'im. Now I quote. He says, "Shebekeren deronit mizahit." Keren means the corner. Deronit mizahit means southeast. So that's the coordinates. Keren, Deromit, Mizrahit. He says, over there, Yesh Sunat Nahash, Be'adam, there's snakes over there, in the images of man. Shebemenu, in that area, Yedikat Esav HaRasha. That's where Esav HaRasha gets his he nourishes, that's the right word. Not only that, b'chen b'l'am. And not only that, b'chen l'avan l'alamim. So that's why the Megaleh HaMukot says, Yaakov knew that he's leaving his father's house, which is holy, and now he's got to go to Laban. He's going into the place of the Kilibah. He's going into the place of the Tum'ah. Can you imagine? This is such a diametrically opposed place. It's a polar opposite. Poor Yaakov Avinu. He's living for 63 years in the house of Yitzhak Avinu. After that, he went for 14 years to study in Yeshivat Shem Be'ever. For 77 years, he lives a pristine life. Now, where does he have to go? He has to go into the mouth of the crocodile. He has to go to the most dangerous place. People that are involved in black magic, people that are involved in all sorts of evil behavior, but he's entering that area of Laban, who's connected to Keren Deromit Mizrachit, that corner that's called the southeast corner. So listen how he learns the Pasuk. Vayisa Yaakov raglav. Yaakov lifted his legs. Vayelech, and he went Adsa to the land. To which land? Bene Kedem. Not the grape juice, Kedem. Kedem Asher Tevot. Kedem Deromit Mizrachit. That's the sword of Kedem. Yeah, the place is called Haran. But the Kabbalists are telling you, in that place, Haran, you had a family of Laban over there, and they were plugged in to such a negative place. Southeast corner. The southeast corridor. Kedem. Kedem. Deromit Mizrachit, and now Yaakov Avinu would have to fend himself and retain his kiddushah in this place. Introduction. Ladies, I will tell you when the shiur begins. These are just introductions to get the concepts familiar with. There's a midrash in this week's parasha as well. The Midrash tells us something about marriage. Because this parasha is about marriage. As a matter of fact, we have three marriages that the Torah talks about. The Torah tells us about how Abraham Avinu married Sarah. We read about how Yitzhak Avinu married Rivka. And in this week's parasha, we read about the marriage of Yaakov Avinu marrying his wives. So the Midrash says there's two types of marriages, and I'm quoting them. Yesh shehu holech etzel zivugo, v'yesh shezivugo ba etzlo. It's two types of marriages. One type of marriages where the man goes to where his wife is, and there's another type of marriage where the wife comes to where the man is. The Midrash says, Yitzhak zivugo ba etzlo. Yitzhak, he didn't move. Rivka came to him. She'emar vayar vehinei kimalim ba'im. You remember Yitzhak was in the field, and he lifted his eyes, and who was coming towards him? Rivka. That's not the normal wedding. When you go to a wedding, usually you see the hatan, he goes to the bride. In his last case, it was the opposite. The bride actually came to the hatan. And then the Midrash says, Aval Yaakov, halach etzel zivugo. Yaakov did it in the more conventional way, baby. Do it today. He went to his zivug. She'emar, v'yetze Yaakov, v'yetze he went. And I'm wondering, what's the difference? What's the difference? What's the difference who goes to who?
It's a big difference.
Oh, it's a big difference. Well, that must be a big difference if the Midrash is pointing it out. Otherwise, I would say the main thing that happened here, they have to. The main thing is that the main thing is that I raise a family and everybody lives comfortably. What do I care if the girl came to the kala came to the hatan or the hatan came to the kala? To me, I would always think that that's it's a detail. But who cares? However, this is the Beit Yishai that Rabbi Friedman revealed to me. The Beit Yishai of Ben Yosef Haim from Baghdad, he wrote a sefer called Adelet Eliyah. This is a book that he writes, which basically is on Parashat Hashavua. He writes this commentary not in Parashat Vayetzeh, in Parashat Vayelech. So even if you look for it, you have to find it in a remote place. Now, I'm going to paraphrase the Ben Yishai for you what he says, because he says a tremendous chiddush. He answers the question, what's the difference who goes to who? So he says, we have two pesukim. God tells the Jewish people, Shuvu Elai. God tells the Jewish people, listen, you have to come to me, Shuvu Elai. We come and tell God, Hashivenu Adonai Elohecha, you come to us. Listen again. We have an argument between us and God. Who should make the first step? Boy, you have such people made sins. You people have avonot. You want me to forgive you? Shuvu Elai. Come back. You must take the first step. You must do something. God, I'm not going to do anything until you repent and come back to me. Shuvu Elai. What do the Jewish people tell God? God, this is the Yisrala. You got to help us. You have to come and purify us. Don't wait for us. If you wait for us, it's going to be very long. We need you to come and clean us. Start the process. Help us. So we tell God, Hashivenu Adonai Elecha. You bring us. Come to us. Then Hashuv Adam will come back. You take the first step. Well, who wins this argument? Who wins this argument? It's a real argument. So the Ben Yishai says that when we look at God and the Jewish people, God is considered Hatan, and the Jewish people are considered the Kala. I'm giving you a new way of looking at the relationship between us and God. Sometimes we look at it as God is our father and we're a child. Sometimes we look at the relationship that God is a master, a king, and we are his servants. But today we look at God and the Jewish people in the, what should I say, in a lovely way. We look at the relationship between God and the Jewish people as Hatan Bekana. God being the Hatan and the Jewish people being the Kala. As a matter of fact, the holy books say that Har Sinai, when God gave us the Torah, it was like a wedding. It was a wedding ceremony. It says there was all greenery by Har Sinai. That's why at our weddings we put flowers and greenery to make it nice. God took Har Sinai and lifted it over our heads. The Gemara says that's like a chuppah. That's over the heads of the people. And God came down as the Hatan, and the Jewish people were the Kala, and the Torah was like the Ketubah. They signed at the wedding. And there was a marriage between us and God. Umsos Hatan al Kala. Ken Yasis Hashem alaik. So the Ben Yishai says, it makes a big difference. Does the Hatan go after Kala, or does the Kala go after the Hatan? So God says, you know whose marriage I like? I like the marriage of Yitzhak. The Hatan stood where he is, and the Kala has to come to him. So therefore God says, Shuvu Elai, follow the marriage of Yitzhak.
I'm not connecting. You have to take the first step. You have to make the Shubah. You have to. I'm not going to help you. You made sins. Shubu alai. You're the bride. Rivka is the bride. Rivka came to Yitzhak. God says, I'm not doing anything. You come to me. So what do we tell God? We say to God, why do you like the marriage of Yitzhak? Why don't you follow the marriage of Yaakov? Which means, in the marriage of Yaakov, the Hatam went to the Kala. So this is the argument. What is the proper way in a marriage? Is it the proper that the bride comes to the groom? And that's what God says. You come to me. And we say to God, why are you looking at that marriage of Yitzhak? Why are you looking at the marriage of Yaakov that he went? So who's going to decide? Who's going to decide? Ladies, I'm going to teach you a rule now. I'm going to teach you a very important rule. You ever hear of the rule that says majority rules? There's a law in the Torah that says, Ahale Rabbim Latot. The Torah is very, very particular, especially when you're in a court. You have judges. The judges have different opinions. How we know whose opinion to take? The Torah says, follow the majority. If you have three judges, so then ready, we take two out of the three, and that becomes the halakha. I'll give you an example. This I saw in one of the interpretations of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. At the end of the Haggadah Shel Pesach, there's a song that some of the Ashkenazim sing, maybe Sfaradim sing it also. The song over there is Adir Bimlucha. Ki lo na'er, ki lo ya'er. At the end of the Haggadah, I don't know if you're awake at that time, at the Eta Abak or so, but there's a song over there that they sing. You can sing it after, if you want, we can hear you rendition of the song. At the end of that song, whoever wrote it says the following. Kadosh b'mnucha. God is considered kadosh. And then we say, Rahum kadacha. God is merciful like the halakha. Anyone who is halakha, God has to be merciful. I know there's a halakha that says you have to keep Shabbat, halakha that says you have to, you can't talk Lashon Hara. But I didn't know there's a halakha that says God has to be merciful. But the Rabbi wrote the song says, Na'um Kahalakha. So I saw a rabbi called the B'nai Yisraskar explains like this. We have three rabbis, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. What is the measure of Abraham? Chesed, that kindness. So that's one rabbi. Abraham says, Hesed. What does Yitzhak say? No, Hesed. Judgment. We're Mahloket. Abraham is on the right side, Yitzhak is on the left. Comes the third rabbi, Yaakov. Yaakov, it says, is in the middle. But it says, even though he's in the middle, he tilts to the right. That's why Abraham is called Hesed, Yitzhak is called Din, and Yaakov is called Tiferet, which means in the middle, but he leans to the right. So if he leans to the right, now you have two that are mercy and one that says judgment. So God says, I must follow the two against the one. The Midah of Yaakov is called Rahum. So therefore the song says, Rahum Kahalakha. That's the halakha. God says, I have to be merciful because it's two out of the three avot. Therefore, Yitzhak is put to the side. You understand what we just did? If you look in the Sidur we say, at least in the Sidur of the Sefaradim, right before Modin, there's a barakah called Etzeh.
we say, Ve'ata b'rachamecha harabim, tachpos b'anu v'tetzenu. God, in your plentiful of mercy, b'rachamecha harabim. But based on what we're learning now, we understand it much deeper. God is mercy. You know why He's mercy? Because it's Rabin. Because it's the Chazak Baruch. It's the Darin. God, have mercy. Why do you have mercy? Rabin. Because it's Abraham, Yaakov, against? That is very good. You're looking very good today, I see. So we go according to majority. Go according to majority. So now I have an issue. Yitzhak Avinu, his wife came to him. Yaakov Avinu, he went to his wife. So it's one against one. I need a third. So I go, before you get to that, I want to see how Abraham Avinu got married. But the Pasuk says by Abraham Avinu, Vayikah Abraham et Sarai. That Abraham went and took Sarai. He went to Sarai. Oh. So now we have what's called a clear majority. Abraham and Yaakov against Yitzhak, and therefore we can tell God, you're bound to follow the majority, and therefore you're not done. You have to come to us. Ladies, this is very important that we establish it, because we're in exile now, and we want God to redeem us. But we're not worthy. So if we're going to have to do something for God, it'll never happen. We need God to come down and purify us. We tell God, listen, two out of the three forefathers went after their wife. Yaakov went, and Yitzhak and Abraham went. Therefore, you have to come to us. Does God follow it?
Yes.
I have a proof that He follows it. Well, I have a proof. You remember when we went to Har Sinai? So at Har Sinai, the Pasuk writes, Adonai Misinai Ba. God came from Sinai. I asked a simple question. He came from Sinai? Did you say He came to Sinai? If I was writing the Pasuk, I would have said, Hashem Le Sinai Ba. God came to Sinai. Why does the Pasuk say God came from Sinai? Listen to Rashi on the Pasuk in Yitro. It's Perek Yudet Pasuk Yudzai. Magid Shashikhinai Yasali Knatam. The Shekhinah was at Sinai first. And when the Jewish people were coming to Matan Torah, God, who was at Sinai already, came to greet the Jewish people. Like at a wedding, when Adan is standing on the stage already, and the bride walks in, what does Adan do? He walks towards the Kana. That's exactly what happened at Har Sinai. God was at Har Sinai first. Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Jewish people and said, okay, the wedding's starting. God is at Sinai. So the Pasuk says, Adonai mis Sinai ba. He came from Sinai, as she says, Kechatan hayose dekhat. Kana, like a Hatan that comes to greet the Kana physician Emar, Hashem Misinai Ba, Zeron Emar, Lesinai. That means God was the first. So God listened. God followed the majority. So therefore, if God came to greet us, that means God will come also towards the bride. And He will take the first step in order to purify us, in order to bring us to the ultimate rectification. And He's not going to wait for us because we're not capable. Now listen to the language of the Ben Ishai. Now I'm quoting you. Now that you have this introduction, I want to read a little. V'yaduah, The Israelim Hashem Yitbarach, the Jewish people with God, Em Kedemion, they have the analogy of Isha in Ba'ala. He says, as a result, Shapira Vikuah, we understand the conversation between us and God. Ki Hashem Yitbarach, Tafas Kemenhag Yitzhak. God says, I follow Yitzhak. Shizifugo Ba'etzlo. Rivka came to him. V'lachem amarto, God tells us, Shuvu Elai, you come to me. V'lo shu'arach etzel batzugo, v'unam Yisrael, what do we say? Anahnu tofsin shitat kemenhag Yaakov. We follow the opinion of Yaakov, shehu alach etzel batzugo. In Ken, if that's the case, Yesh Koach, the Israel. So therefore, we come along and say, we have a source that you should come to us. Oh. Now listen to the Pesukim that I found in the Sidur. These are Pesukim that we say every day, and we actually also say it on Rosh Hashanah. It's a review of everything that we learned, but now in Pesukim. The Pesuk says like this, and I quote, we tell God, Yeshuv Yirachamenu. What do we tell God? Yeshuv, you come to us and have mercy. Yichvosh Avonotenu, and forgive our sins. And throw all our sins in the waters. We're telling God, you come to us. So God said to him, you come to me, it's Hak. So who's the next person? Titen emet Yaakov Hesed Abraham. We come and tell God, no, it's two out of the three. Titen emet Yaakov Hesed Abraham. We said, two out of the three, they went to the bride. Oh. So God says, Lahum Kalacha, I have no choice. I have been taught. Now watch this. I know, ladies, you don't shake lulav in the shul, at least us to court. But the men do. I want to tell you what the Arizal says when we shake the lulav. We actually face east when we shake the lulav. That's the way we start. And the first thing we do is we turn to the right and we shake three times to the right. Now, this is the south. If this is the east, the right over here is the south. By the way, if you go this way, on the parkway, you go south. If we go south, then already the Hakamim say the south, which is the right, represents Abraham. Because it's the right. Abraham is Chesed, Chesed is on the right. Well, who would be the north then? No, the north would be the left. Yitzhak. And who would be in the center? Yaakov. Let me just say it again. You have to put the book. The Arizal says, when you shake the lulav, you start always on the right, which is Chesed. That's the south. It's connected to Abraham, so Abraham is Chesed. And then we go to the left. The left is Yitzhak, which is judgment. And then we go to the center, which is east. Who's in the east? Yaakov. Oh. So now let's look at the southeast. Who's in the southeast? Abraham and Yaakov. And therefore it comes out that Yaakov Avinu Alav Shalom, he was doing something incredible. He was going to the place that was called Kedem. Remember I told you Kedem is Kedem Deromit Mizrahit? Because that's where Laban gets all his negative energy. But Yaakov Avinu needed to go to that place
to bring the Kiddushah to that place. Just like there's a Kedem of Tum'ah, there's a Kedem of Kiddushah. And therefore Yaakov says, I need to bring children into the world. I must go to my wife because I'm the deciding factor. Because it's tied up. Avraham did it one way, Yitzchak did it another way. The way I choose my wife is going to be the majority. So therefore he said, I need to partner up with the south. The south is Avraham. So the Pasuk says, he went, Ansa ben Kedem, to create Kedem the Romit Mizrahi, to create two out of the three, because if people go to Rahel, then already he can tell God, At the time of Kedem, when Yaakov lifted his legs and he went outside of Kedem, that's when it was established. That's why it's very simple when you go to the wedding ceremony and you see the Hatan will pick up the Kedem. That's a big moment. The bride is standing in where she is, and the Hatan walks from the stage and he brings her. At that mind, you saw the fruit. Well, you're not married already. But we don't have that need to think. That you have to imagine that you're telling God. Hashem, you come to us. Just like I'm coming to the bride. That's why it's a great moment to pray at that moment. When you see the Hatan at the wedding ceremony, walking to the bride, you're supposed to say to yourself, again, see the Kedem. Hadesh Yamenu Kekedem. That's what Yaakov Avinu was doing. Well, I've been telling you to be an Ashkenazi. You can blame me for that. Ladies, I'm explaining our ceremony. I can only explain our ceremony. That's the ceremony I'm familiar with. But you see, that's behind it. Tremendous kabbalah. I'll tell you something else. Yaakov Avinu was called what? Emet. Titen Emet. What's the numerical value of Emet?
145.
Say again. Say again, Aleph Mem Taf. 441. That's the big number. But it's also called Mispar Katan. You know how you do Mispar Katan? You just add 4 plus 4 plus 1. So the Mispar Katan, the small number of Emet, is 9. That's what our custom when man gets married. How many words does he tell his wife? Hare, at, mikudeshet, li, betaba'at, zonk, edat, moshe, v'yisrael. 9 words. So we're telling God, Titen emet le'Yaakov. He was the side fact. There's two marriages. Sometimes the zivug comes to you, but sometimes you go to the zivug. Abraham and Yitzhak, each one did it a different way. Until Yaakov came, but Yitzhak Yaakov, now already, Atza ben Ekedem, he went to join the southeast. Now he was able to overcome this midah that God says, Shuvu Elai, we say, no, you come to us. Based on this, the Ben Yitzhak quotes a pasuk. The pasuk we say sometimes on Moshe Shabbat, "Bishuv Adonai Shevut Amo, Yagel Yaakov, Yismach Israel." The pasuk says, "Bishuv Hashem," when God will return to the Jewish people, who's going to be happy? Yaakov, Yagel Yaakov, because Yaakov says, good, I'm the one that caused this. God is coming to us. Who's able to establish this? Yagel Yaakov, Yaakov Abin says, it was me because I went after Rachel. Now we understand what Adam is doing. Now we understand something that's critical. By the way, ladies, you have to assume the following assumption. The old-time Mishpachim, they knew all these things. The old-time evil person was not just an anti-Semite like you have in the United Nations. Today, the anti-Semite is an expert in giving speeches against the Jewish people. They're just orators. They're not a curse. They're not but the old-time anti-Semites, they knew. They knew the depth. All of a sudden, what does Lavan see? Lavan sees that Yaakov went after Rachel. It's a problem. Because now it's two against one. If Yaakov goes to Rachel, that means God has to come to the Jewish people. That means God is going to purify us. God's going to make the first step to purify us at the time of the redemption. So what is Lavan doing? Very good. Very good. He says, no, I'm not going to let that. I'm going to bring Leah to Yaakov. Now it's again the majority the other way. You see what he was doing about that? This was not a small thing what he did. Yaakov didn't go to Leah. Leah came to Yaakov. Just like Rivka came to Yitzhak. Now it's the same majority. So the man says, I have no majority anymore. I ruined it for you. You know what I was trying to do? Because once you have that God says, I'm not doing it, you come to me, there's no redemption. Because it's impossible for us to redeem ourselves. We need God to take the first step. After that, I'll tell you something else. You remember 2 weeks ago when we read that in the Israel pick up the car? What did they say? What did the man of the say? They were happy about that. They weren't against sending Rivka to Yitzhak. To them, that's good. That means the bride has to come to them. To Nachtan, it's a take up, no problem. But this week's parashah, Laban says, no way. If he's going to go after Rachel, I have to break it. So now what do we do? So I'll tell you what the Arizal says. Ladies, I don't want anybody to leave the class and say that you knew this already, everything I'm telling you. Ladies, I have to make a confession. It would be much easier for me to come into that Bible stories on Thursday. It's much less pressure. It's a big pressure to say over these deep divinity to try to make them make sense to a certain degree. But it would be much easier just to tell you stories about, from the Hazara, from the Midrash says. But I have one more piece that I do not want to deprive you of. You know that there's 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is right around the corner. There's 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. That is our rights. There wasn't supposed to be 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. In the Torah, at least the Torah that I have, there's 1 day of Rosh Hashanah. I mean, forgive me, but I don't like to use the word New Year. New Year. The New Year was on the day of the New Year. Lavdil. Forgive me what I'm telling you now. By the Goyim. When is the New Year? 1 day. That January 1st, January 2nd? No, 1 day is the New Year. Why is it that the Jewish New Year, 2 days? It's a big question. Says Rabbeinu Ari, the first day of Rosh Hashanah is Keneged Le'ah
And the second way of Rosh Hashanah is Keneged Rachel. The first day of Rosh Hashanah, he says, is called Dina Kashya. It's strict judgment. The second day of Rosh Hashanah is called Dina Rafia. It's soft judgment. And the Arizal says, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, God only judges the tzaddikim. On the second day of Rosh Hashanah, God judges everybody else. What does he mean? Says Arizal, there are certain people that are tzaddikim, that are on a high level. They're able to rectify their mistakes. So God says to the tzaddik, you have to come to me. Like Le'ah came. But the tzaddikim, God treats them on that high level like Le'ah. That's the first day of Rosh Hashanah. But Baruch Hashem that God gave us a gift the second day of Rosh Hashanah. That for all those that are so weakened from the sin that they need God to pull them out. You see that fear of somebody's drowning. The guy is a good swimmer. The lifeguard says, go, just pull yourself out a little more, transfer water and come out. But the person that's weak, they say, I cannot, I need you to pull me out. On the second day of Rosh Hashanah, that's Keneged Rachel. Rachel, Yaakov went to pull Rachel. And therefore, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, it's an easier judgment. And therefore, we have to have more Kabbalah on the second day than on the first day, because most of us are bourgeoisie, regular people. So actually, Lavan had bad intention, but he didn't realize that God had a plan. That there's going to be two different groups in Klal Yisrael. There's going to be the groups that are connected to Le'ah and the groups that are connected to Rachel. And there's going to be 2 days of Rosh Hashanah as a result. Laban's intention was that everybody should be like Le'ah. And therefore, nobody will be redeemed because God is not going to come to redeem. We have to come to Him. And it's very difficult to do that. God said, no. Laban, you did us a big favor. But what you did by giving the ad to Yaakov, that's only for the tzaddikim, that's the first day of Rosh Hashanah. But everybody else, they're going to follow the second system of Yaakov, which is the majority opinion. That the Hatan goes after the Kala, and that's why if you look at the Torah, the Pasuk says, Ki yikach ish isha. That the way the Torah says is, the man goes and takes the isha. If you go to the weddings, Yaakov Avinu had 2 names. What was his 2 names?
Israel.
Yaakov and Israel. When we tell the lady at the wedding, Hare at mekudeshet li. Betalah azo, kenat Moshe, Israel. We mentioned the zikut of Israel, Yaakov and under the chuppah. That we come along and say, just like Yaakov took his wife, so too we're coming along and taking you as well. And as a result, God was the ultimate Hatam, is going to come and take us. B'shuv Hashem shivtamo yagel Yaakov yismach Yisrael. And that's what the Pasuk says in the tefillah that we said. Well, the Olam says, Yeshuv yirachamenu. God says, I will come and bring the people back. I will forgive their sins. Even though they didn't make the tikkun that they should have, I'll fix it for them. Yeshuvi Yahamenu, I will erase their sins, Yechbosh Amonotenu, I will push them away, I will take the sins of Klaisel and throw them in the water. God says, I will come to the Kala. You know why? Tenemet Le'Yaakov, Hesed Abraham. Because it's the southeast corner. And where is that southeast corner? Hashem Nishbarta La'Avotenu, Abraham and Yaakov. When? Mimekedem. At the time of Kedem, when Yaakov Avinu lifted his legs in order to go start a family. And he knew that the way he's going to choose a wife, that's the way God is going to relate to the Jewish people. And therefore he chose the system of Kedem, Derumit, Mizrahim. The Kedem of Abraham and the Kedem of Yaakov himself. Hashiveinu Adonai Elecha Benashuva Hadesh Yamin Kekedem. And that's a very, very important benefit that we get from the marriage of Yaakov. That marriage of Yaakov to Rachel, that's why it says Rachel cries for her children. Because that marriage makes the majority for most of us. Unless you're a tzaddik, you could live on the high level of Le'ah, but that already would be, you know, too much to expect. We come from the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Can you imagine how deep these little pesukim are? This little pasuk over here that says he lifted his legs and he went atzah b'tekedem actually is the pasuk that guarantees us that we're going to have a geulah. It guarantees it that God will redeem us under all circumstances. Because now the Hatan has to come to the bride and pull the bride out. Just like Avotenu HaKidushim, Yirason. Which means, like it says in the Pasuk, Yasis Alayich Elohayich, Kimsos Hatan Al Kana, that God should come along and rejoice over us, like the Hatan and Kana, the two Hatanim, the Hatan Avraham Avinu, and the Hatan Kedat Moshe, Yisrael, Amen, Ken Yirason.